What's happening, people? Welcome to the General Banter Podcast. Today, we will not have any goddamn intro music because we don't have a full setup. Why, you ask? Because we are in Casa de Macan.
Yeah.
Coming live from Oma. We're in Aaron McCann's parents' house because Aaron has a fucked up foot. Tell us what's wrong with it, Aaron.
I had to get my toenail taken off yesterday. Like the whole fucking thing.
That's incredible.
Whenever it happened, I was telling you about the doctor, the Polish doctor. Mm-hmm. The last guy I had was from Fintna. This guy was international. They got the best in medical ops to come around and take off my disgusting toenail. But yep. The last guy was like, you just go on, you don't even feel it, to be honest. You don't do that much anesthetic, you'll be grand. And then this guy was like, oh, there will be oozing, there will be blood, it will be very painful. And I was like, fuck, I don't even want to do this anymore.
Where was he from?
Poland.
Yeah.
He spent a bit of time.
Them boys.
And
that Polish boy isn't going to give a quarter of a fuck about your toe.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what are you, vagina man? Yeah. You're a sort of pussy, why you need toes?
That's what I did. I just listened to a pile of gangster rap. Let them take it off. And then when they took it off, the nurses were having a bit of banter with me. And they goes, now you can't drink for 6 weeks after that. And I was kind of like at the start going, wise up. And then they were like, no, honest to God, that anesthetic is that strong. You can't like combine like ethanol with it. And they started getting all scientific-y.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, you may stick the fucking toenail back on then.
6 weeks for real?
No, they were only taking the piss. But I was like, I was about to say, you may get the thing back on then.
I think I would be a lot like George Best, like where he drank himself to death near enough. Uh-huh. And then they went, right, you're a national hero. You get one last chance. We're going to put a new liver in for you. And he went, thank you so much. I'm so happy for this opportunity. And they stuck it in. He went, they're like, do not drink because this is the last chance. And he went, no, I'm drinking anyway, though, so fuck you.
I mean,
I'm going to go ahead and drink. And they're like, no, but we went to all this length to get your new liver. And he's like, yeah, so I should be back to square one.
But that's why he's the ultimate soup dragon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He is.
Nobody touches Bestie.
George Best Sessions.
We got you this new liver. Cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Regret to start over.
We took this out of a young man who tragically lost his life in a car. Sweet. Good to go. Slap it in there. I'm winning the pub.
I'll take this with 4 pints of Stella.
Yeah. He's literally blood seeping through his t-shirt and he's chinning drinks.
Do you think that would change you? Do you think if you got a new... Like, do you think if the doctor literally just went, right, that's it. Yeah, stop drinking. Would you be like, yeah, fuck it. Whatever.
I think that's what I need.
For a doctor to...
I need a doctor to go like... To give me like an actual timeline where he's like, if you kept drinking the way you drink, you will die in a year. And I go, I'll stop in a month.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because I don't think it's not like not a lot of people have a proper addiction. They just like to get fucked up.
Yeah, like me and you just love an old sesh. Like.
Yeah, and the drop of a hat as well.
Yeah, like you'd be like, oh, have you work tomorrow? Yeah, but I can phone in sick if you're looking drinks.
Yeah.
People will say things like that, like, are you busy tomorrow? Yeah, but I can cancel everything if you want to go for pints. But I've talked about this many times before. I just get excited about the thought of pints. And even when I'm drinking, I'm like, I'm not going to appreciate this tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I love it. I love it. So I love getting pissed.
You just keep coming back to it. And no matter how bleak your hangover is, like I was saying, it took me until today. It took me 5 days, basically. I've been hungover for 5 days. And now I can't wait to go back on it.
Yeah.
Like as soon as that dark cloud passes, I just want to immediately, what's the next excuse to get fucked up? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I tend to go like, next day, super hungover, very anxious. I sleep that off. The next day after that, I've still got this anxious feeling knocking about, but I don't have the sore head and other sort of effects. And then the third day, I'm just tired from all of that shit I just went through. And then the fourth day, I'm ready to go again.
You know what people talk about, like, see when you say anxious, do you mean like the horrors?
Yeah, like anxiety is what they call it.
Of what though? Like that's what I always wonder. Like, what are people scared of?
Well, death ultimately. But the anxiety isn't like, especially for me, it's like a physical thing.
Yeah,
it's like you just can't fucking settle. Yeah. You feel like you've got adrenaline in your body, but you're just watching TV, which is kind of pretty much how I feel all the fucking time. I should see someone, really.
I get more of the one where you like you go back to the night out and you're like, fuck, what did I say flashbacks here? And was I a dick here? And you almost feel like you have to like give a disclaimer to people the next day.
That wasn't me. That's my marker of a good night, is when I'm just guilt-free, just went like, I had a good time there.
Yeah. You know? No, that's the way every night should be.
There's a few nights where I'm like, oh, I had a good time. And then you're like, oh, and then I spoke to that guy that I used to go to fucking thing with and I can't remember his name. And then you're like, you just have this full fucking shit attack. You're like, oh, I called his girlfriend for me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I totally forget about you.
But then that's like the thing that, you know, you'd have to deal with. But then on another level, people, you know, you're never going to have to worry about, fuck, I shouldn't have, like, hit someone last night, or, like, I shouldn't have fucking, like,
and
passed
by the way,
out one more.
There are people like that who just fucking drink all the time.
Yeah.
They don't give it a second thought. They're like, oh, you know, you fucking, like, told someone's mother or a dick and then trashed their house.
Yeah,
and they're
it's like, terrible.
We're still going out tonight. I know people who, like, if I drank, or if I acted the way they acted when they were drunk, I'd just never drink again.
Yeah, it'd be a good excuse to never drink again.
But those sort of people just never learn. Those absolute dose cunts of shit. They always just, every time they're out, are a nightmare.
I think fighting's the worst. I think
fighting's
there's hectic. No excuse for it ever.
There, but that's
nights out.
It's usually you're just angry with yourself somehow. That's usually what it is. I know people, and you could literally, like, there was a finite number of drinks they would have. It'd be like 1 pint, 2, 3, 4, 5th pint. Shark eyes, just nightmare. Just completely fucking swap personalities.
I mean, there's dudes that go out just to fight. Like, they're looking for a bit of trouble, and the second someone, like, takes them on, they're just fucking losing their head. Wasters, like.
I would literally be like, I would avoid a fight at all costs. Even at the cost of looking really embarrassed like a bitch. I'd be like,
but a fight's embarrassing.
That is my biggest. I was talking about this in something. Was it in another podcast? It might have been last week. I was just like, the thing, my fear of confrontation is my fear of embarrassment. It's not my fear of fight.
Yeah, because if
rolling around the floor with your fucking t-shirt around your head,
yeah,
covered in shit and blood, is my embarrassment fear.
If you're in a, like, people will talk about that fight that you were involved in amongst their group of mates the next day, because it'll be like, did you see that guy get fucking hit in the dance floor or whatever? Yeah. And next thing you know, you're a key talking point of other people's net out. And it's just the whole thing makes me cringe.
It is the embarrassment factor. You know, what are you scared to be? I've been hitting the face plenty of fucking times, you know?
Yeah.
I almost went through the windscreen of a car in my head.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of you punching me in the face, like, really. Yeah. Also, I've been to one boxing class now, so I'll kill you, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like a white Mike Tyson.
I mean, that is
White
one
Tyson, name. That's my rap name.
White Tyson.
Kike Tyson, Jewish rapper. How the fuck do we end up talking about this shit?
I have no idea.
Straight off the bat.
A weird start.
What about both your mom and your dad flirting with me there?
I loved how
you've lost a wild pile of weight.
I loved how dad came on and was like, you've lost some fucking weight, boy. But like, he almost said it as he was looking at the wooden floor. And you're like, did fucking did mom pay you to say that?
I think that's what's happened. I think he's within there and he's like, I can't lose a wild pile of weight. And he's like, last time I seen him, I had 15 fucking Red Bulls in me. I don't fucking remember anything. I just remember my last memory of your dad. Last time I seen him was at the Ulster Hall last year when we did that gig.
Yeah.
And he came in one door and was like, I'm waiting for a piss. And then went out the other door and did he must have done a full lap of the Ulster Hall. To go to the toilet. And then came back in the other door and was like stuck behind a security door and I had to let him in like a wee puppy. Meanwhile, as the door I let him in, I was like, here, Pio, you know there's a toilet right there beside the room. You just walked out of and then did a lap of the premises. Like a fucking, like a security guard.
That's so dad though. Like, one thing about him is he always like will look in control even if he has no idea what the fuck he's doing. So like saying like,
here,
family holidays.
That's where you get it from then. Stand outside that waterfront and the photographer goes, Aaron, could you just stand over there a wee bit? And Aaron marched into the distance.
I was in Monaghan.
Yeah, like halfway across the road, halfway down the West Link, and they're like, Aaron, we literally just meant stand there. Do you know what I'm saying?
But like in family holidays and shit, like I remember us being in like New York one year and like him walking at all times about 5 meters in front of us. And we're just like, he has no idea where the fuck he's going. And then whenever it came to like a crossroad or whatever or a street turn, he'd turn and go like us here, like turn around and be like, man, the fuck would you? Like us here. Like, why are you walking at that psycho pace?
Yeah. Man on a mission. I know where I'm going. Don't you worry about it. Fuck, I think that's that.
You nearly broken that mic.
I don't know, I did a weird drinky noise. Yeah, they were all like, oh, you've lost some weight and all. And then, meanwhile, I brought like a rack of fucking donuts with me. this gym thing.
Oh, I talked me through it.
He's going through
a personal trainer.
Yeah, I just paid this guy a lump sum. And he's like, what's your sort of targets and all? And I was like, I just don't. I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like, here's my target, and then do it for a certain amount of time, and then just be like, oh, I lost a certain amount of weight, and then stop.
You can give up now, yeah.
I was like, just let's get in the rhythm of this, and we'll mix it up. So we're doing different weights and shit, but push day, pull day, and legs day.
Hang on, pull day is like...
Two wanks and a... Pull day is like...
Your wire and a panini.
A pint and a panini. Your wire and a pint. But like, yeah, it's basically like fucking rows and lifts and all that shit. I don't know, it's bullshit. But
push day is
pushing
a pound in the band machine. Yeah. Getting a Snickers.
yeah, today we mixed it up. I said to him, like, if you want to extend that package, that sounds gay. I was like, if you want to add in a cardio day, I'll come in and do boxing with you, because he has boxing experience.
Uh-huh.
So he's holding pads, and I could see the fear in his eyes, like, you know. He's doing the jab straight right, pa pa, the 1-2, and then you start adding hooks in. He's like, oh, that's your world there. Up close and personal, we tight hooks. I was like, fucking right. White Tyson over here.
So how long have you been with this guy for?
Probably about two. Well, the London thing lost me 2 sessions, so probably about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I missed 2 of the sessions.
Did you do much damage in London?
Food-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah. But drink-wise? But then I walked about 30 miles, like, so I probably burned it off. But the first...
London tactic.
It's just like, you know, we were like, oh, we'll go for an extra day to get, you know, some extra experience, you know, do more stuff, basically. And you do nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, we got there, we fucking... What do we do as soon as we got there? Left our bags in. I think we just left our bags in. We were knackered, so we're like, right, go into this hotel room. Napped for like an hour or so. Just because, you know, you'd be up from fucking 5 in the morning, stinking. Got showered. Headed into London. And just like... It was just like, we got in. It took us longer than we thought. We fucked about. We're like, right, I wouldn't mind eating now.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, we're sort of running out of time. I don't want to walk about and try and find anything. So then we went to Five Guys.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And we went to Five Guys, I'm like, right, that we're done about 6:45. And we start walking around the corner to the Museum of Comedy.
Uh-huh.
And then we were like, do you want to get some tins to bring downstairs?
Yes.
No bother. Went to that same fucking office, same thing. We went in. And then my phone rings, and I answered it, unknown number, and I was like, hello, and he goes, hi, is that Colin? And I was like, yeah, and he goes, hey, it's fucking Dan here from the Museum of Comedy, and I was like, yep, no worries, we're just across the street, and he goes,
oh, is that Alex guy's gone, man, eh?
The
France.
Guy
that has, France, yeah.
So he's like, yeah, no worries, mate, and I was like, sweet. And I fucking strolled on in the back, met everyone, how's it going, whatever, this is about 6:58 now. And he goes, we're on about 5 minutes late, so are you okay to just wait for 5 more minutes? And I was like, yeah, sure. So, and I looked at my watch, and I was like, so, like, what do you mean, like, 25 to 8 or something? And he goes, oh, no, the show's at 7, we're supposed to be at 7. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm literally walking around an off-license, like, oh, what do we get? We'll get a few tins of Stella, and this guy's like, oh, no, the show's at 7. I was like, fuck, I thought it was 6:30.
Was everyone, like, there?
Yeah, oh, yeah, like, foyer full of people. So, like, I literally just, you know, when you just, the adrenaline just goes straight through you. I was like, fuck. They were letting people in. I just ran to the toilet and I was scribbling out a fucking set list. And I was like, right, let's fucking do this then. And went on stage with a Five Guys cup. And, I was like, because I didn't even drink it. It was like a full Diet Coke in it. I was literally in Five Guys about 10 minutes ago. And then here's a pile of material about me trying to get fit. Like, it was so fucking embarrassing.
That's
and it was
hilarious.
It was so weird because, like, I don't know what has happened this year, but, like, see anyone that was all, like, you know, oh, I watched Iron Fighters back in the day and all.
Mm-hmm.
See, since the amount of people that have watched that.
Yeah.
It must be 10 times the amount of people have watched Facebook stuff, Snapchat stuff, podcasts, more videos, you know, because I was taking like fucking, I took about 12 photos of people in the airport. Like walked in, saying I got a photo, someone else got, and then a girl ran out of the fucking shop, got a photo that worked there, and then like someone else got a photo and get in the queue for Starbucks, more fucking photos, some guy with his kids, another photo, talking away to this other dude.
It's class,
like,
man.
Tons of photos. It was freaky, and like you forget sometimes because I was like standing there in my head, like waiting in the security line, and then this guy was like, "Oh fuck, oh what are the chances of seeing you here and all?" And I was like, oh, "How's it going, mate?" And he goes, "We're coming to your show tonight." And I was like, what? And it was him and his wife. And he's like, yeah, we're just going over for a trip and then seeing you were playing. So we're going to your show. And I was like, fucking no way. And then sure enough, they were at the show later on that night. And
that's class.
Chatting away to Maureen for ages. I was trying to fucking bounce around everybody, speak to them. Like, but it's fucking so strange. Like, so
it's
strange.
Great though that like, you, like now like the Museum of Comedy is like, you can just go back there like at least once a year, you know?
Oh yeah.
Like well, same with Blackfriars in Glasgow, you know? Yeah, you well, just
that's,
go back
that's
and do
twice
a show
a year
there.
Now.
Yeah.
You know, that's twice a year. I went 2 times in 1 year.
Yeah.
Did the Museum of Comedy.
How long did you... The first time was the split show, remember?
Yeah.
With Shane. So that was like, what, half an hour?
Yeah.
You do? So that's like an hour. That's good going, like.
I need to sort of... I may try and organise another wee sneaky gig before this Ulster Hall one. Because those two shows, I was attacking them so hard that I was ending up at about 50, 55 minutes.
Yeah.
Of just ripping through the shit, like.
Yeah.
So but I probably need to write a bit more stuff.
But then it's, I don't know, like, if you feel the show is, like, if you're at, like, what, 50, 55, whatever, you know, you don't have to live by the sacrilegious, oh, this is my hour, you know. I think that if a show, I would rather do a show that
I'm nearly 100% sure you used the word sacrilegious in the wrong term way there, but yeah. Much like sorry, your dad, you said it with such confidence, I just rolled with it.
Sorry, I'm just...
That steak is sacrilegious.
I'll blame it on the codeine, or whatever the fuck I'm on.
Said that wrong too, codeine.
codeine, the fucking thing you get with the fire stuck on it or whatever.
The old codeine and the old fire stick.
I'm off my tits. Remember I said that to you yesterday? I was like, I hang them off my tits in the anesthetic, and they're like, how'd they do it? And I was like, oh, an injection? And you're like, you're daffing off your tits, bro. you're just dizzy.
I was like, were you asleep? And you're like, no. And I was like, you shouldn't be high then. You know
what I mean? You're just nervous and overweight.
You just have high blood pressure and fuck shit. Yeah, they numbed, that's like they numbed your toe and you're like, I'm high as shit. Yeah. But literally, it's probably just you were so hyped up because you're like scared of is it needles or blood,
yeah,
or just everything?
Fucking terrified
of
needles.
So you're scared of all that shit. So it's like, it's basically relief probably that it was over. And you're like, I'm so high right now. Sure, they say that about like people who have like stress or pain and they smoke CBDs, which aren't supposed to get you high.
Mm.
And people are like, oh, that gets me high. But then apparently it's like, it's just that it takes away the immediate pain or stress or tension. So straight away you feel so relaxed that you do feel high.
But yeah, it's a weird thing that would be like, it's one of those things that's like, the fear is there, but I know how stupid it is because it's like the pain that you feel off a needle injection is zilch, but it's the anticipation of it coming.
There's anytime I've tried to get over like real nervous situations, it's just to like meet it head on and laugh at it.
Yeah.
Like be like, oh fuck, you know, like look at this shit. Yeah. And like try and overexcite myself instead of let the fear just crush me to death.
Well, like dogs, I think I've got over dogs near enough this year.
Dogs are nothing to worry about.
But if you have that fear of them, it is like a, like what would you say you're scared
but
of?
But in reality, there's nothing really to be scared of.
Well, it depends on the dog. Like your dog is like a stone granddad. Like it's like
that's ridiculous. Like but you say it depends what dog, but you gotta, you know, if you're talking about percentage of crazy dogs that are gonna bite you, most of them, if any dog's gonna bite you, it's probably more likely a wee tiny dog.
Yeah.
That are wee dicks. But like it's just you don't, how many fucking dogs do you come across in day to day anyway? I don't know, it's weird. What am I really scared of? Tons of shit.
Is there anything though you're scared of it and you're like, this is silly? Like for me it's definitely needles, like I know that's a silly thing to be scared of, like.
I mean, there's things that like are total mental mind fucks. Like if I've like a job to do and I've shot a video and I'm like, oh my god, this editing's gonna be so hard and difficult, and then you finally force yourself into doing it, and then you're like, oh, this is just editing, it's fine. But that's different. I don't know if I really have like a full phobia of shit.
Yeah.
There's things like make me squeamish, but they're not, you know, like they're not phobias. Like I don't think I have any phobias.
No, like wildlife or shit like that, you'd be.
Well, obviously, like if a tiger walked in, I'd shit my pants. Like, but do you know what I mean? You know, not like spiders are pretty gross, but I'm not like shit scared of them.
Yeah, see, I feel nothing for spiders. Like,
nah, if I can stand on it, I don't really care
for insects or anything like that. Yeah,
I would be definitely like. You see, the thought of being in the sea scares me.
Right,
but if I'm at the sea, I'm like, get me in the sea, the fuck. Do you know what I mean? So like, if I sat here and watch Blue Planet and, you know, thought about swimming through the sea and a fucking shark bite my leg,
yeah,
I would freak out. Whereas there's times I've been at the beach, like, and just been like, all right, I'm going in there. I'm just going to take all my gear off and get in there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. No real phobias.
It's weird. Well, I don't even know if I would call it, like, phobias either, because that's, like, a proper, like, instilled in your brain type.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can still be super scared of shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not really scared of spiders. But if you made me do one of those fucking I'm a Celebrity, lie in a bed full of spiders, it would definitely, my heart rate would definitely be up. Like,
I've just got to have, like, no nightmare phobias that, like, you know, are definitely going to affect, like, people that are scared of flying. That would be a fucking nightmare to have, I think. Like, you know, like, bird crasher and stuff. Like, he can't get on a flight unless he's out of his nut.
Yeah, but that's just OCD, like.
Yeah.
You know, I'm shit scared of flying. But it's really let up in the last few years.
See, to be fair, drinking while on a flight or before a flight speeds up the flight to amazement. Like, it's like that time we went to Glasgow, and me, you, and Warren were like power drinking the whole way through the flight. Like, we didn't have time to sip a pint at all. Every round that was brought, it was being
the flight
power
to Glasgow
jug.
Was about 15 minutes.
But even that was like, but it literally felt like five. Like,
well, it literally is about five. Like, it takes off and it goes horizontal for like 5 minutes, and then they're like, boom,
yeah,
we're landing.
Because here's what happened.
That's how big the flight is.
We took off. You ordered a drink.
I ordered six drinks, bitch.
You ordered six drinks.
Six brew dogs, which aren't cheap.
Balling out in the EasyJet. And then they came, and then I went to go for a piss, and then I came back, literally popped open my first beer, and the thing was like, yeah, we're landing now. I was like, what the fuck? Like, that's not even...
We had the chug. Every beer we bought that day.
Yeah. We touched down in Glasgow, and I was stocious, like.
I know. And the problem with Glasgow is you just can't buy a drink anywhere.
Sort that out.
In a nation full of alkies.
That annoyed me so much, like.
Let me buy a drink, for God's sake.
People over here complain about how, like, our drinking laws are fucked up, but at least you can definitely purchase alcohol until, like, 1:30 in the morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and also, I'm a big believer in, like, people go crazier, like, the more rules you have.
Oh yeah,
that makes sense. You know, so like, it's that whole like, oh, the bar's shutting type of vibe, and you go and buy 19 pints that you don't need.
Well, doesn't Glasgow have like a crazy fucking like underground like rave scene as well, where they're like throwing parties and like abandoned B&Qs and shit?
Yeah, just so they can.
Probably why.
Well, that happens everywhere, like. But you bastard!
Out of memory,
is that what it said?
No, I just assumed that what that wee noise was.
You fucking bastard.
Keanan playing a bit with the new toy.
Yeah.
When did that arrive? When did the camera come?
The day after we went to London.
Bastards.
I know. Oh, you dirty bitch. It's full up. That's annoying.
How's it full?
I don't know. I need to check the card. I think I put a card in it just to check it, and it's actually just full of shite now. Did I tell you I went to see a musical in London?
Oh yeah, that's Wicked.
Wicked.
How was it?
Not so wicked. I don't know. It's just do you know what? See the next comedy gig I do, I'm gonna be like, guys, thank you so much for. Now I know London Apollo Theatre is a different story to like rolling into like Lavery's, but it's like, thank you so much for coming home, getting showered, getting clothes on, sorting your shit, you know. Getting a few drinks in, going to a cash machine, standing in a queue outside here, sitting, waiting for fucking 40 minutes before the show starts, and then it starts, and you sit through it all and laugh. Because, see going to like a show, especially, well, I don't know whether London's different, but it's just like a nightmare. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, it was like two or three fucking tube changes. You know, got there, stood outside with thousands of people in this fucking queue in the pissing cold. Took ages to get in, stand in the queue. And like, you know, if I was the manager of one of those places, I'd be like, listen, there are thousands of people coming through these doors here. You don't need to act like you're in a fucking cocktail seminar. You know what I mean? Like a cocktail class. Pour it in the fucking cup already. These guys were like, you know, like, there's this guy I was looking at, and I was like, I almost know who you are, and I don't know you at all.
Yeah.
I was like, you're a guy who's an actor who's like, I'm going to get a fucking job in this theater. There's going to be all production people knocking about. I'm going to have a beautiful side shade. I'm quite handsome, but probably definitely gay. And I'm going to stand here and look cute and pour drinks really elegantly. And I was about to fucking grab him by the dicky bone and head him. I swear to God, I was like, mate,
grab him by
pour
the
fucking drink. I was like, first of all, you have to decant all the bottles into plastic cups.
Yeah.
So you don't need to go all fucking, like it's an ad for Schweppes.
Yeah.
It's gin and then you fuck that tonic in the top.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? And then he's like pouring like bottles of Budvar, and he's pouring them in the cups. That's another thing. You're like, if it's going into a cup anyway, rack up some shit. Do like a Foster's on top and just squirt pints out instead of giving me bottles. All the fuck. It was so annoying. I was so annoyed. But then obviously, I'd had a couple of drinks and I was just wanting to drink more. And then I was tired and hungover. It was just one of those things. You go in, sit. Took ages to start. It's roasting. And then it starts, and it's just super loud. But it's like illegal to film in there.
Mm-hmm.
So if they basically have these guys like staring over everyone's shoulder, and if they see a fucking blue light in your face, he sprints down and like is on you. But like, loads of people were doing it, so this cunt was just never stopped, just sprint, and he was literally sprinting. And it was
Jesus Christ.
At times, it was like distracting. You're like, mate, do you know what's more distracting than that fucking blue light? Is you doing like shuttle run, like sprints behind me here.
You're never going to be able to do that. It's impossible.
I mean, I get it if someone sat the whole time. People take their phone out. What time is it? Let me check the train. Put your phone away. You know, people do shit like that. Or you know what? But this guy's sprinting around, dunk, 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 across all the wooden floors, and I'll bump, 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 up and down steps. Sit the fuck down, will you?
Well, that's why what they did to that Chris Rock guy went to was pretty fucking genius. That whole, I can't remember the company or whatever they were called. But whenever you walked in, you had to put your phone inside this like little like locked, like almost like a glove bag, and you carried it about with you. And if you wanted to use your phone, like if people were going to give the whole "I need to call my mother" type excuse, they're like, "Right, well, there's a base like literally in the middle of the free arena. You go there, you get the bag unclipped, then you can make the phone call. Then you put it back in your fucking thing and go back and watch the show."
It's a bit extreme, like, but I just think,
but I think it's necessary because like, if Chris Rock's doing a Netflix special and some cunt in Dublin's recording half the show, the whole thing's ruined. If he uploads it to YouTube and shares it about whatever, TMZ picks it up.
Isn't it funny that you could have a company that just does that now?
Yeah.
What do you call Ziploc? iLock or something?
But it was so weird. Like, see, being with that many people and nobody had their phone out.
Yeah.
Like, it was really, really weird.
That's good, though. Nah, it is good, I suppose. But yeah, that is a lot of people to try and manage. Have you fucking, have you ever been to a musical?
I went to see Billy Elliot, like years ago.
I would love to go and see Billy Elliot. This Wicked thing was a pile of shit.
I never thought I'd hear you say that sentence.
No, but it's a good, you know, I know the film, I know what's going on.
I've never even seen Wicked. Explain the storyline.
No, Wicked's not, Wicked is like a prequel or something to like The Wizard of Oz. So I came out and Maureen was like, what do you think of that? And I was like, well, I didn't really know what the fuck was going on. She was like, well, surely you've seen, you know,
yeah,
Wizard of Oz. And I was like, no. And she was like, oh, well, for fuck's sake. Of course you're not going to know what's going on. I was like, I get it. Like, but it's just like, you know, if you watch a movie, you would love just the start of it. Like in 1960, this guy and this guy, whatever. And you get a bit of a background of the film. This just starts as like, she was a fucker. Like, it just goes straight into like this music. And you're like, set the scene. Are they in school? What the fuck's going on here? And like, I, you know, it's, I'm pretty sure it's a Billy Connolly bit about this, but it's like, it goes like, you know, it's just mid, it's not even like, it's hard to explain. It's like mid word they start singing.
Uh-huh.
So we're like, well, you know, like, she broke my heart. And the last time I seen her, like, it just, It's just like so mid sentence, because normally there's like some sort of fucking like, you know, and that's the last time I seen her. But home, and then you hear the music, because her. But this cunt will just literally out of nowhere.
That's
hilarious. Don't leave me. I have something else and bloody blind information about stuff. And then, by the way, theater people are the worst for like hamming it up for applause.
Yeah.
You know, they go, like, every song is like, something, something, and the end, boom, and then, yeah, everyone goes nuts.
Yeah.
I'm going to start doing that with jokes.
Yeah.
I'll be like, suck my fucking dick.
That old song, mid-sentence thing, is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, just out of nowhere.
Did you get up to watch last night? I had 6 pints of Stone on him!
And then I vomited on my feet. Boom! Yeah, and then at the end they do this like shitty music. I was like, you know, like cinema, yeah. Like the end of a show music. And then everyone sprints out and does these like, oh, thank you. Oh my god, this is the best bit. Oh, thank you so much. And they do all these bows and everyone runs out. And you know, like the guy that was dressed like a goat 2 minutes ago takes his head off. And he's just the bald old man. And everyone cheers. By the way, I would feel terrible for anyone that wasn't like the main people, because they're all like bows and everyone's like, yeah, oh, fuck my Jew. And then the two main ones come out and it's like, yeah, they all go nuts. And then everyone's clapping, ring, ding, ding, ding. And everyone's clapping, well done, lapping it up, all these fucking lovies. And then the music cuts and they goes, thank you. The girl's like, well, she's like, thank you so much for coming out today. As you know, I swear to God, as this is her next, this is how it goes. Thank you so much. And then the music dies. Clap, 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 clap. She goes, as everybody, thank you so much for coming out. As you know, every 18 seconds, someone dies of AIDS. And I was like, fuck me. You fairly put a dampener in this show.
People think that HIV and AIDS has gone away, but no, loads of people are dying, including children like you, like just like you, little dead children are dying of AIDS. So I've turned into a bit of a fucking Geordie now. Never mind.
And then she's like, we'll be collecting for World AIDS Day outside.
Oh my fucking god.
But it was just, it was so showbiz.
That's hilarious. Like, thank you so much. As you know, every 18 seconds.
Who's doing that? Calculation is what I like to know. The girl from 8 out of 10 cats.
Oh my fucking god. I'm sore laughing at that. That is so funny.
You went from so showbiz to boom boom.
Thank you so much for coming out. As you know, every 18 seconds somebody dies of AIDS.
Don't. I was just sneezing in the background there.
That's the fucking as you're you're very familiar with, AIDS kills someone every 18.
Where am I from? What is that accent? That's I went from Sarah Milgan to fucking like Welsh to Geordie.
I couldn't even do Welsh if you put me on the spot. As you all know, every 18 seconds somebody dies of AIDS.
And I was like, this fucking musical is so gay, I think I might die of AIDS. That's such a bad joke.
What an ugly stereotype.
You can't. The gay AIDS joke is dead in the water.
Oh, that's so funny.
The AIDS epidemic is sacrilegious.
One gay. There are people out there being sacrileged by AIDS.
Do you know what that means, love?
No, I've no idea, but it sounds good. I've had my sacrileged by the AIDS.
Your mom was trying to make me a steak.
What do you mean?
She was like, how long are you staying, Colin? I was like, I don't know, we're just going to do a podcast and then I'm just going to head home. She's like, sure, would you not, do you want to, I'll take you out a steak or something?
Jesus Christ.
Give me all the good shit
around
here.
I must get you around more often and fucking get fed.
He's a hard boy to feed. That's what you said. He's a hard man to feed, our Aaron. He's like having a fucking barn full of livestock.
8 cheesecakes and a bit of pus wouldn't fall.
2 fat tits and a sandwich.
That's so funny. That's, you should make material on that musical. That's fucking hilarious.
I might, because I was going to compare like what you get when you pay into one of my shows versus what you get when you pay into like, you know, a ping pong show in yeah. Thailand or a West End musical.
That's so funny. That's fucking hilarious. That AIDS thing's fucking... I nearly passed out laughing at that. So even though you weren't really... You didn't know anything of the story and... Like, it was a bit kind of, it wasn't really your scene. Did you like it? Like, would you go to another musical?
I think I would. I just don't know if I really like that one. Like,
yeah.
Billy Elliot, I would like to see. Book of Mormon, which is obviously written by
the South Park lads.
So I would definitely go see that. But you cannot get a ticket for it.
Yeah.
And they're like £200 a ticket. It's so fucking dear. You can't get in. But I would love to go see that. I think it just, I could, they're very impressive, like. Musicals are very, well, I say musicals, I've seen like a sort of amateur one that Maureen's mum was involved in, mm-hmm. and then I've seen one, like a real professional one.
Yeah.
But I would go see other ones. I think I just went to see one that I just didn't know much about.
But like, is it...
And I was fucking, we were miles away, like.
Is it a case of in the West End where they have like one musical... does like a month showing and then they move on to the next one, or could you see like Wicked or Billy Elliot or Grease or whatever the fuck?
I'm pretty much sure you could see I was knackered having a stroke over here. I'm pretty sure you could see any of those somewhere.
Yeah,
they might change venues or they might just do like seasons where they're on for a while and then they're off for a month and then they're back on or whatever.
Yeah,
it'd be hard, it'd be tough if you were doing that every night, like.
Oh, fucking hell.
But then, you know, you have a whole cast that you can work with. Whereas I was thinking, like, you think this is hard, guys? Try doing what I did last night, which is tell dick jokes for 2 hours straight.
Do you think there's much bucking and cocaine at them after parties?
Well, I would say half an hour in London, and you're like, I would fully understand if everyone was on coke right now, because I don't know if I could live in London at all.
Isn't stand-up like the least rock star thing of all time? Like, musicals are more badass than...
Probably. I mean, yeah. I mean, the thing about stand-up is you're alone. Like, it's so alone.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's lonely, because most of them are weirdos, but it's like, you know, anyone goes on fucking tour or something, you're just by yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
unless you're able to, like, try and bang all around you, which most comedians are disgusting, so it's like,
yeah,
you can't even get the fucking ride for the love of
fun. Yeah, I think that's why people like big comics always choose like just dudes that are really sound as like open acts.
Yeah, because they're just hanging with it.
2 months.
Yeah, this totally. Person. Totally. And I don't think enough people do that, like, but also the other thing about being rock and roll, and it's like in America and stuff, you can get to the level of comedian where you're like you're like a star.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God, this guy's a fucking star. There's almost like rock star status with some of these comedians. Whereas there seems to be the attitude over here where it's like, oh no, you're very much still the entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, like, dance for me, monkey boy.
Yeah.
You know, and no one gives it up. No one's like, mate, you're fucking, well, some people do, but it's like usually just one dude by himself who smells.
Yeah.
It's never like three hot girls going like, you're so funny.
Yeah.
Do you want to chew my box down?
Yeah.
And I'm like, let me get my friend Aaron here. And then you're like, oh, I'm all right, thanks. I'm over here putting a dressing on my toe. Thank you.
Oh, fucking hell. That's hilarious. See, there, like, I couldn't have bucked anyone after that show on Thursday if I wanted to, because I was completely, I was way too gone. Like, I was just...
What's he do? You just be like, just come back to Casa de McCann and we'll wait till tomorrow.
Buck on this Game of Thrones.
Is it funny when you're like so drunk, you're like, I'm all right for the riding. Thanks, cheers.
Yeah.
Whereas then you wake up the next day and you're like, form a queue.
Yeah.
Because I have a bucket full of rounds to get off here.
Here's my card. Business is open tomorrow as usual. No, it's like, but to be fair, there has been some things that have happened with stand up that I've been like, this is pretty fucking cool, like, that you wouldn't have got with anything else, like. And we have had some fucking, not mad afters where everyone's doing fucking ket, like, but, like, we have had some, like, that Christmas do last year was a fucking mess express, like. Everyone was buckled in, singing Christmas hymns and stuff outside.
Okay, but that was just good fun. That, there was nothing really debauched about that.
Which is a nice plug for the upcoming Comedians Christmas Day.
Tomorrow is Lavery's. Is that right?
Tomorrow is
the 6th. She and Todd, Rory Woods, me. There'll be a lot of new material going down at that bad boy.
Yes.
The 20th is the Comedians Christmas Day, which is just all the lads, really. But I'm going to try and figure out a way where we can do stuff where we can all be on stage. You know, like much like the storytelling thing or like Topic Thunder or something like that.
Topic Thunder would be badass. I'd love to do that.
Just go up and... I think the way it's going to work better is like... say if it was like me or you. Or just me or just you or whatever hosting. And then you can sort of... you go up and you talk about the topic with the other person.
Yeah.
Because more will come out of that, I think.
Yeah, and it's not as like... you know, if you get like, say, a shitty topic and you're up there by yourself, there's very much a sense of, oh, fuck. Whereas if someone's with you, kind of, there's never going to be really dead air, like.
Yeah.
You know.
Plus, you know, there's a lot of those storytelling nights where we were talking shit and they were way funnier just because we were going back and forward.
Yeah.
That fuck, like the Crazy Legs one, we were like, oh, was he legless and all?
Yeah.
Yeah. That clip that was in the vlog, it was pretty good. Yeah, it was good shit. I feel like I'm going to sneeze. How was your show? Last week? Talk me through it.
Mental.
Good stuff.
Like, there's very few times that anybody walks off stage and they're like, yeah, I really enjoyed that. And even at that night, I was like, how did I kind of do there? Because the first person I seen when I got off stage was Dara Tracy.
Right.
And he was taking photographs and shit, came off stage, and I turned around to Dara and was like, Dara, how'd I do there? And he instantly just went, shut the fuck up. So then that's when I knew that, you know, it was, I looked like a dose asking him that question. Like, it was almost as if I was looking for, like him to go, oh, no, that was really good, mate. But I was generally like, I don't know how the fuck I done up there, because the whole thing was a fucking blur. Like, from start to finish, it was just a complete blur. It's crazy. It's, I don't know, there's something about doing an Irish show where you definitely kind of go on autopilot a bit, because at least if you're doing, like, a 10-minute set or whatever, 20-minute set, you can come off and you have maybe, like, what, like, 4 bits. So each bit, you're very much aware of how it's done.
Yeah.
Whether it is with an ire, there's just too much shit. You can't focus in on anything.
No.
Then you come off and you're like, how the fuck did that go overall?
Yeah, and you come up with like segues that you didn't even know.
Yeah.
And then you're like, how smooth was that? Because I don't remember fucking anything about it.
And plus, I wrote the show so low. Well, this thing is like, I didn't write the jokes last minute. The jokes have been fucking being written this past year. But the flow of the show and the organization of the show was very much... like day before type shit, like.
Yeah, I mean, if you know the material, it doesn't really matter, I suppose. But you can always fuck with order a bit,
yeah.
You know, and callbacks and whatever. I'm trying to figure out something.
Did a fucking mic drop as well?
I know, I ignorant that, that. Fucking asshole. it was so funny. I seen on someone snapped Michael Coyle's maybe like you. Just the start of that Tyler song.
Oh my
god. And then you come on like a fucking savage.
I was like
savage.
An actual child because I walked in and...
it's just good to hear songs that loud.
Because
like you're not gonna be anywhere where they're going to play that song. Do you know what I'm saying? They're not even going to play that in like fucking Alibi or like workplace hip-hop, Thompson's song. They're not going to play that in there. They're going to play the fucking, you know... California penis.
Because I watched
hip hop.
The dudes who were doing sound and stuff, they're like, have you anything like that you need done in particular? And I was like, well, what do you mean? Like,
donuts and a dick.
I was like, what the fuck? And then they goes, yeah, like, you don't have anything like set up for an entrance or anything? And I was like, well, no, but like, am I able to mess about a wee bit? And they're like, yeah, come on up and we'll just throw something together. So I told him the song I wanted to walk onto, which was Who That Boy by Tyler the Creator. And it has like that...
Who's That Boy?
It's just...
Who's That There?
It's like the worst song you could pick for coming on stage as a stand-up, because there's such a big, massive build
to it. It's literally about a minute, isn't
it? Yeah. And the guys were like, see with each of these, like, because you know they go... They're like, well, each of them, we'll just throw on strobes. It's like, it's the simplest thing we can do, but if you like it, we'll just stick with that. And I saw it and I was like, oh my fucking god, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's so
and
good.
I was like, yeah.
Was there smoke or what? Was I going mad?
I was like, fucking.
Was
like,
there smoke?
Yeah,
before?
They threw smoke on stage and shit.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, I was like, I was already sitting there like.
That's incredible.
Like, at the start, I was like, I don't want anything like mad. I just want to walk on stage like a normal stand up. And then I saw the shit and I was like, can we get pyro in here or something? What the fuck? We get
girls. You got a girl spitting fire. What's happening? It's a. I know it's like I people would say that's a bit too cheesy, but I'm like, nah. If it's a bit too cheesy if you're like a fucking one-liner, you know, clown comedian.
Yeah.
If you're coming out with the motherfucking venom,
but it gave
get
me
the lights on.
It gave me instantly my first joke. Like yeah. Straight away, I was just like, as an audience, I goes, that's the only part of the show that's for me. Is that? Because yeah. That's all for me. That gets me all hyped up and stuff. I can come out here, hopefully put on a good show. Well, there's an audience, you're kind of like getting all hyped up by that stuff and all the bass and the violins and the black people. And you're just like, Jesus Christ. And then a 20 stone fucking pasty white lad from Throne walks out and goes, boys, what about Brexit, eh?
He fucking like, topples on stage.
So like, it gave me my first joke and everything. So no, I think people fuck about with like all that shit, you know. And it's, I enjoyed it. Like that was definitely my favorite part of the show. As you said, you were like, it's such a shame you have to actually do stand-up after that. Because I could have very easily went, right, that's me. Cheers for that.
You
appreciate
just
it.
Fucking danced on stage.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, it's hard to like have this belter tune and then it all just cuts away to nothing and you're like, yeah. Well, what's happening? Got any students in? I know. Nah, but fucking it's cool. I mean, that's the joy of working with people that like... you know, Queens or something, because they'll do stuff for you, whereas I feel like I'm going to do the Ulster Hall, and I'm going to be like, what colour lights can I have? And they'll be like, oh yeah, the lights are £1,000 each. You should have told us you needed lights.
Yeah.
You know.
You just don't think of it, because you're that busy fucking prepping the show and shit.
Limelight's going to be like that too, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I can't wait for that.
Your guy Joe was like, yeah, you can pretty much do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty cool. I'm super, super excited for that.
What are you more excited for, Limelight or Ulster Hall, if you had to pick?
Limelight.
Yeah.
It's weird. I really am going to have to maybe do like a wee secret show in the next week or so. Just fucking last minute, try and get
easy
a couple of people in a room.
Yeah.
Just to run that show out, because I noticed, I filmed it too, but like I noticed even going from Derry, I made some adjustments and then I did my first show in London. And it was still a bit, because I was still dealing with like fucking hecklers and all. I was like, fuck up, William, I'm trying to get through this.
Did you have hecklers in London?
Nah, it was just people in the front row who like, I would say something and then he shouted something and then I commented on that and then he started talking to his girlfriend and
yeah.
They would just fucking join it. They were nice people, like, but you're just like, Jesus Christ, you know.
Yeah, fuck up.
Shut the fuck up for one second.
Yeah.
What can you say? Like, I know they came down on a fucking train from somewhere or whatever. Yeah, even the difference between the first, even the second show, it like smoothed itself out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's sort of what you want. If I could get one more in, I think it would just add a bit in and sharpen it up again. But there's bits, isn't it weird? Like, there's bits that you'd be doing at home and they don't really sort of make that much impact. And then you do them across the water or somewhere else fresh and they fucking murder.
See,
and you're like, I would need to look at the fucking set. There was a joke I did, and I was like, that is like a fucking, whatever, you know, just, it's getting me to the next bit, type bit.
I would not have understood what you just said there until we did Glasgow, because that's exactly what it was. It was like...
And it sort of reassured you, like, are these people laughing at something? They're like, nah, they're laughing because it's funny, like, I'm trying to...
I think it's because over here, like, with libraries and stuff, like... People see the material coming to its final form. So, like, people see you do a bit for the first time, then they see you tweaking it, then they see, like, another edit, and then they see you finally go where you're like, right, that's, I can leave that now, like, it's done. Whereas Glasgow people are hearing it for the first time, and it's the final fucking version. So, it's just kind of no messing, no fucking about.
Exactly. I can't remember what bit I did, and it just murdered.
In London or Glasgow?
Yeah, in London.
In London.
And it was weird because I was like, I don't remember that. I can't even fucking remember.
Did you re-break your record for the most boost sold
in the
Museum of Comedy?
I don't know. It wasn't full of, like, the St. Paddy's Day show was full of absolute hellions, like.
Yeah.
There was a couple of drunk ones in the second show, like dudes in business suits and all. The guy was like, oh yeah, I'm from fucking where Ballinahinch and all, and this is my mate, fucking whatever. And then his mate's like real reserved in English and he was blitzed, like, he's probably 45 or something. Mm. He's like, yeah, we're at the strip club there. And then some other dude leans over and he goes, oh, was it fucking Charlie's or wherever? Like, these ones just start talking about being in a strip club. And I was like, cool. Mm. It was just such typical London businessman, take a wee bit of coke, we're away from the wives, let's go to the, you know, it was just
that. Yeah, banana strip club?
No.
Weird.
I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't enjoy it?
Nah, I wouldn't do it. I don't get it. It's like, do you want to walk past a buffet and look at it? No.
Nobody's eating damn buffets, like.
Yeah.
Strip clubs are the, it's the weirdest.
No, I was making an analogy there of like, you know.
Oh, I thought you were all about actual strip club buffets.
No, not the actual
which
buffet.
Which exist.
Oh, no, that. No, I'm saying.
Do you want mac and cheese and lap dance?
I'm more like, you know, I don't want to look at the food.
Yeah.
Let me eat the food.
Yeah.
What was the line to you? If for a little bit more, I'll do a little bit more. And I'd be like, what's the full package? What's your full setup? Because I'm a greedy little bitch. Also, who's your friend? Let's get real silly.
No, the one even the only weirder one than that was the prostitute in Ibiza.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
The big dick.
Nope.
No. No, sir.
Sorry.
Grabbed your dicks. You see that's that would have she could have like fucking twisted my arm into doing stuff there.
Nah,
you got a big dick? I'd be like, thank you. Yeah. Here's my PIN number. I one of the funniest things I ever heard for you say was like when she did that, she's like, oh, big dick, and you went, nah, all balls. Yeah. That's me. What's the square root of McCann's? That's one of our questions. We got so many questions there.
Let's play through them.
Let's rip through them. I don't even know if I can check the fucking Facebook.
I stand up for a second.
You stand up? You down there, mate?
Fucking hitting here.
It's warm. You're going to be sweaty hip. Tell me this. Did I send you this? Does that look like a black pregnant Maureen? Doesn't it? Doesn't it though? Like the eyes
that's
and the lip.
Fucking
that
crazy.
Looks like Maureen, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's crazy.
It was some fucking photo.
That's
some artist.
Hilarious.
Isn't that crazy?
That's mental.
I'm showing Aaron a picture of a.
She's got Biggie's crown on.
There's a black woman there, and she's pregnant, but she's all body paint and glitter and all that shit. But she literally looks like Maureen only.
What's with all these weird pregnant photo shoots? Is this as well?
Pregnant photo shoots?
I don't know. Beyonce had one stuff.
I got some pho in London.
Oh, I wonder was it in the same place I went to. What'd you think of it?
No, this was in the fucking Westfield supermarket or shopping centre. Because at Shepherd's Bush, because we were like only across the road in a hotel.
Uh-huh.
Maureen needed like hand cream or something because the cold was like destroying her hands. She's like, let me go get some hand cream. And we nipped across and she was like, oh, this was like Dubai Mall.
Oh, Westfield's is too big. Yeah, it's
Shepherd's Bush. It was fucking enormous. Mental. And there's everything. There was and from like the highest end, like I went to Food Asylum, which is pretty decent, like shoe shop. And then, but then beside it was like a JD and a Foot Locker. And then you went upstairs and there was a fucking Sports Direct. Like there was literally everything.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like a Hublot watch shop, and you know it had just crazy shit in it. But we basically got lost in time. We went over at 9 a.m.
Right.
And left, and we're like, oh, we'll go to this, we'll go into fucking Camden, we'll try and get some Vietnamese food, we'll do all this shit. And I swear to God, we're in there till 2:30.
Yeah.
You know, and then basically got ready and went to the fucking show. Like, we're supposed to do, like, a whole pile of shit, go to Camden, do a bunch of stuff. We're going to go to this sounds weird, but it's the Museum of Advertising and Branding.
Right.
Which is fascinating.
Where is this?
Whereabouts is it?
In Kensington.
But fuck me. Like, I went when I was in uni. We went on a trip and we went in. It was just like the history of brands and stuff.
Uh-huh. That actually does.
Do you know what I mean? And like, it would show you like a Lucozade bottle, like the first Lucozade bottle, and then like 30 Lucozade bottles to the modern day one.
Yeah.
And it back from when it was like you'd give it to people when they were sick, like, oh, they're sick, they need this wee shot of like sugary shit, right up to like 33% longer sports drink. Like,
I feel like I would enjoy that.
It's fun. It's especially because we were doing design and stuff, so it was all like graphic design and logos and labels and everything. And it's good to see it that way. But it's
pretty
just
cool.
It's just genuinely fascinating. You're like, this is fucking incredible. When you see everything there, you see like the history of something, you know, or like where like logos come from. It like explain to you where all these logos. Apparently, Toyota, you know, the fucking symbol.
Yeah,
the wee thing. Was because they used to make fucking sewing machines, and that was a, it was like a thread going through a loop, the top of a needle, basically.
That's pretty badass, like.
But now it's just morphed and morphed and morphed till it's like a circle.
That's like, it's not really the same thing, but I always enjoy that story of the Grip House in Glasgow, of how they got that name.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like a, it's one of those cases of completely accidental, and yet it's suited
it's so
the
works.
Place so
it
well.
It sounds like a fight term, but it's not.
It's amazing.
What do you think about the wide-angle adapters, macro lens you can buy for your iPhone? Yeah, I feel like they're pretty cool if you're willing to spend money on them.
Which one of them going to sting you?
Well, I bought one for about £8, but it wasn't that good. But you can pay whatever you want for them.
Get a is that like the fisheye thing you bought?
Yeah. They're all right, but then there's, I don't know, people do overuse it, and I don't know. It's weird. How fucked would it be? Okay, that's a bullshit question. I didn't get a chance to listen to the podcast, but what happened to Thomas Tiger Smythe? Oh, really? I mention it every fucking podcast, bro.
Yeah, which podcast did you not listen to?
Would you go on holiday to Egypt, Turkey at the minute? Cheap, but potential terror threat will put you off. Would you go? Would you go to, like, Turkey on a holiday?
To Turkey? Is Turkey fucking...
Yeah, it's a pretty dodge country at the minute. Because I think Turkey's... Right, I'm going to have to look this up.
Well, here's the thing. If you have that outlook, you can have that outlook with anything.
There's people probably still have that outlook about here.
Of course. Of course. So there was, like... I remember my sister was on
the
honeymoon.
I think Turkey's beside, like... hold on. I'm going to make a cock of myself here, so... Turkey.
I remember my sister was in honeymoon in, like, Vegas, and they were chatting to a taxi driver who's, like, originally from Compton. And then they were kind of like, oh, God, like, do you still go out there and stuff? And he's like, oh, Compton's, like, a tourist attraction now.
Yeah.
He's like, it's nothing compared to, like, what it was in, like, the 90s and stuff. And then she said that she was from Northern Ireland, and he's like, oh, I wouldn't go out there. Like, yeah. So it's yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would say Compton's pretty, it's like Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Fully gentrified.
Yeah. Of course.
So here's what's on the border of Turkey. Syria, Iraq, Iran, Armenia, Georgia.
Fuck, I don't even know that was
so, that's,
so close
that's,
to that.
That's probably why it's so dodge. Like,
I mean...
Oh, my neck's killing me.
Yeah, I mean, is it one of those things where it's that painfully obvious that it's almost guaranteed to be safe kind of thing?
Maybe, but it's like we were talking about going to Mexico on a honeymoon, and Maureen's mum was like, oh my God, I'll be fucking shitting myself the whole time he's away. And I'm like, we'll be in a... ridiculous resort.
Yeah.
That we probably won't leave. So it's like, we'll be all right. How was London, you big handsome bastard? Did you go to that Chinese I told you about? No. I didn't get time to fucking do anything.
What Chinese?
Something in the Chinatown's like a real famous one.
What is the one that me and Tom...
It's called like Old 57 or I don't know, something like that. Some it just had a weird name. Shout out to fucking... my boy Dan, who drove from Liverpool as quick as he could to get to that gig.
Oh shit! From Liverpool, London.
Yeah, he was doing some gig. He's like a theatre type guy. He was doing some work, and then he just raced back down.
Commitment, respect,
respect, massive respect. Got a photo with him. It's on my Instagram. What position did you play in rugby, and for what school club? I played prop. Both sides for the school, which is Ballyclare High, and then played for Ballyclare Club once or twice, and then I played in uni at McGee, and then I played for City of Derry a couple of times.
What was McGee's rugby team like?
Shite. That's a problem. Like, when you're in school, you're used to a reasonable level of rugby.
Then you go to uni, and it's
go to uni, and it just drops off. Everyone's just they're trying to pull together. Mickey said, Mickey went the same uni as me, and I knew who, I had seen him. We never met, never crossed paths. I just remember just thinking, like, you know, who's this fucking asshole with his highlights? And he was in the
that's right, Mickey had highlights.
He was in the Union Bar one day in like a Superman outfit, and it wasn't Halloween or anything. And I was like, this guy's a fucking drama queen over here. Never met him at all. Never knew he did comedy. None of that shit till years later. But it's just sitting there like, look at this fucking penis.
That's hilarious.
Totally thought he was gay as well. Like, if you were to observe Mickey through a box, a glass box, you'd be like, he's gay as shit.
Someone's box.
He's so kind. No one's box. But anyway, fucking, where was this bullshit story going? What the fuck was I talking about there?
Rugby.
Oh yeah, he basically was mates with someone who was involved with the rugby team, and they were trying to recruit people, and they were like, "Oh, Mick, you're a wee chunky bitch. Why don't you come down and play rugby?" And he said he was gonna go in and get changed. I don't know whether this is correct or he was lying or what the fuck happened, but he said he was gonna go in, and me and this other dude, a Scottish guy called Graham, ran out of the changing rooms, or else it was me and some other dude, this other guy Chris, ran out of the changing rooms, and he said he literally just didn't go into the changing rooms. He just went on home. Because me and this other fucking dude ran out.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Hilarious.
How old would you have been then?
21 or something.
21. Like 21.
A good strong 10 years ago. Would you recommend going to uni to study design? This is not really a podcast question. I actually answered that guy. I think if you're genuinely interested in it, go do it. But try and do one that's a bit more experimental and you get to try different stuff. Because there's so many people come out of thing and go, oh, I have to go to uni. And they did art at A level and they go, I'm going to do something design and it sounds easy. And then they don't like it and they end up dropping out.
Yeah.
But then, you know, there's a video with Aaron Draplin and he talks you through like how he designs a logo. And that did more for me than any fucking class.
I think there needs to be a thing for people choosing their university degrees that like makes them know what they're in for more. Because when I picked PR, I didn't even know what the fuck it was. Do you know, like there should be like a thing where the unis have a short video introduction for every single subject. And if you think you're interested in one, you watch the video.
Yeah, because
it sounds like your cup of tea goes for it.
It's done so blindly. Like you're just like, yeah. That sounds good.
Because you're that at the time too. You're that focused on your A levels. You're more focused on getting good grades than you are picking your fucking what's going to be your future for the next 4 years.
Yeah, I mean it's fucking.
It's weird. Like,
it's like. Yeah, I don't know.
You just gotta try and pick something
like
that.
I went back and forth with that guy, and he's like, "Oh, I did a fucking placement in some ad agency," and he's like. I wanted to fucking die. And I was like, yep, that's how it works.
Well, I think if you're already relatively interested in something, you should probably go for it, because there's so many people that pick something that they have no idea about, and they drop out in the space of 2 years.
Yeah, it's fucking, it's tough.
Uni's a shit plus, show, like.
You know, there's things like design, where it's like, if you're really passionate at certain things, you're going to be doing them anyway.
Yeah.
You know, if you were really passionate, like, oh, I want to go study film, you would be fucking about with camcorders and making wee movies. You'd be doing all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
You know, I want to go study, you know, fashion design. You probably were already into, like, making clothes and stuff. You know, you wouldn't just go in and be like, oh, I studied English, I'm going to go design fashion.
Yeah.
Most of the things, if you're into it, you should probably be doing it already, unless you want to be a brain surgeon.
And don't pick a course based off like job security either, because that's one thing a lot of people I know did and they ended up dropping out.
Yeah. All jobs are quite hard to get, so.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Would you ever play more gigs in Scotland? 100%.
Yeah.
Bro.
I go back tomorrow.
Yeah. I would do it every week.
Scotland's great, like.
Yeah. We'll have to do it in Edinburgh or something, maybe.
We should do it in Edinburgh. Or,
like Blackfriars, I think you could do quarterly. You could do it every couple of months.
Yeah.
If you could be remembered by one sentence, what would it be? Some pup.
I'm sacrilegious.
I'm a can. Sacrilegious.
What does it actually mean? Tell me now.
Sacrilege is like if you speak ill against a god or something.
Right, okay.
No, let me look up the proper meaning.
Sacrilegious.
People use it out of context as a joke, so it'd be like, like when we were in Scotland and I was like, I want to do a whiskey before the show and the guy poured it and I was like, throw some ice into it and he's like, that's sacrilege. You know what I mean?
I hate when people get on like that too.
Yeah.
My dad used to hit me cause if I put coke in my whiskey. Get the fuck out of here.
Violation or misuse of what is regarded as sacred. Yeah.
And what did I even say? What sentence did I fork it into earlier? Can't remember what I was chatting about.
You're like, oh.
Steak.
Yeah.
I said, the steak is sacrilegious.
So people would go like, oh, it's sacrilegious to like overcook your steak. That's how people would get on.
You ever had a word that you used for ages and you thought you were using it in the correct context and someone called you in it?
No.
I do that all the time.
Yep. You're retarded. Thoughts on Christmas market? I think it's just I made a nice band yesterday, and I was like, I was trying to make a point of like, how well would any of that shit do the rest of the year?
Yeah,
you know, none of that. No, you wouldn't want any of that turd.
It's all like it's all, you go once, you get your Instagram, and you fuck off. That's pretty much what it is. Like, there's a lot of companies, I think, and like business things that are surviving purely off Instagram. Like, see the way you were talking about that barman serving you that cocktail?
Yeah.
And he's doing all that shit? Most of that is because girls will do, like, boomerangs of him pouring the cocktail, put up on Instagram, tag the business, boom, there you go, all her followers see it.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it's for. Bullshit like that.
Yeah, they do these, like, fucking drama pieces just for people to go, ooh!
Yeah.
Like the tipsy bird. We went down there for Niamh's birthday or something, and it was all Maureen's family and her sisters and all, and the guy obviously knew who I was behind the thing, brings out this fucking, they got this drink that's got like dry ice in it,
mm-hmm.
and it's squirting out like smoke all over the place, and
yeah.
they'd made like a little label in the back that said blender and all on the back of it, and I was like, thanks. And then I had to be like, yeah, you know, it's like Niamh's birthday here, so like you may bring her out a fucking
cake or some shit.
Bring her out a stripper with a fucking,
that's hilarious,
candle in his ass.
Do you know, works very much like that nowadays,
but,
too.
But this is my point. 8 phones out at yeah. once, like.
Oh, why?
Hashtag tipsy bird.
Like, it's like another place that's very good for that kind of stuff too is that Revs the Cuba place.
Yeah.
Like they put like
Revolution to Cuba.
They're putting fucking sparklers and everything and all that shit, and then Uyghurs taking pictures of it going, I just love sangria.
Tastes like vomit and
disgusting.
That's the place I got invited to the opening of, and I walked in, and I don't go to any of that shit. I get invited to some things, and I don't go to any of them because they're all so sad. But we went in. It is like, I just, I was looking around, and I was just like, fuck this noise. But basically, the wee guy that was there sort of half knew like Lucy or something, and he was like, oh, you know, we're gonna split up into groups here, and some people are gonna do a cocktail class, and so we were doing a salsa dancing class and all, and I went, yeah, I'm gonna go for a smoke real quick, and I don't even smoke, and I just fucking disappeared. I was like, it's a fucking, I thought I was gonna go in there, eat some buffet food, drink some drinks and leave and take a fucking Instagram photo, and I just went, nah, see you later.
A cocktail making
fuck,
class,
get the fuck out of my life.
See, like,
don't make me do shit.
Forced icebreakers, the weirdest thing. Awkward as shit, like.
Fuck that. It was just like, it was so boring.
No thanks.
Didn't get any free food. Talk about Band-Aid NI 2017 music video with Arlene Foster. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I saw, like,
do you know that I actually downloaded pieces of it? I actually downloaded that video and took her bit out and put over the fucking, the dingo's gonna run out. And I had it on the computer and I was like, I just don't. It didn't look good, and I was like, I'm not a good enough editor to fucking chop around that right now.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Because she was not on screen that long, and she's singing really slow, so I couldn't get the fast mouth movement or anything, but like...
Arlene stole the show. I haven't even heard of anybody else being involved in that fucking thing. She's the only one that everyone's talking about.
Do you know why? Because the big man turned it down.
What do you mean?
They asked me to do it. They asked Shane to do it.
You should have done that.
They asked Shane to do it too.
You both should have done that.
Yeah, but then... Here, do you know what put me off? They're like, oh, bloody blah, and this is the one we made last year, and they were like, it got over 15,000 hits on Vimeo or something, and I was like, guess what? Ain't doing that.
15,000 hits on Vimeo? I was like, say, bro, this new video we uploaded, it's got 20,000 hits on Bebo or yeah. some shit.
I was like, is that, Scott, are you gonna, is that how you're selling it to me?
27 thumbs up on MySpace.
I was waiting for him to be like, that's good promotion for you, you know, that 15,000 hits. Is it? And then they showed me it, and it was a cringe fest. But
it's a blatant cringe fest, isn't it?
They've went full hog with it this year. It's so bad that it's gonna go viral because Arlene's in it, you know.
Yeah, they got the big guns out.
Pamela Ballantyne cannot sing a note, God bless her. That was the worst bit. Did you see that?
I've only seen Arlene's bit.
Oh, it's so bad. I wonder if I get it.
That's fucking hilarious.
I can't play outside.
Cringe does work, though, for over here.
Oh, yeah, but it's
like,
funny.
See, like, U105 dab advert as well.
Oh, that's the worst.
But that's, like, cringe will spread online, like.
I'm not gonna play it.
It's in an alternative universe, you would have did that as well. That would have been amazing.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like it has the potential. They could have done something really cool, but just typical knowing that it's just bad. I mean, literally Owen Quigg slides in there like fucking...
He's yoked as fuck,
like The Weeknd. That's what he sounded like compared to these other fucking titles.
I swear to God.
He just slid in there like voice of an angel.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, that's what people who can just like kind of sing...
Do you know the two people that, like, on that Buckfast video, the two people that I kept getting linked to, as in, is this your man, what do you call? Like, or not even just being like, he's a spit of whoever. Owen Quigg and Ricky Gervais. Do you see that at all? Do you see either of them two in me at all?
You know, not quite.
Owen Quigg, like...
I mean, your facial hair does grow into like a natural goatee, but then he's a 55-year-old man, you know?
Who, Ricky Gervais? Yeah.
Surely people will be like, oh, that's obviously not Ricky Gervais.
Yeah. No, it's just people being silly online.
Like if you, you know, maybe the question. But
it popped up numerous times. Like, it popped up for me to notice it.
Oh, well. Ricky Gervais.
Quigg.
Ricky Quigg.
Ricky Quigg.
Owen Gervais.
Ricky Quigg's your new rap name.
Ricky Quigg.
For sure.
Welcome to stage, Ricky. Toffee Pudding Quigg.
Ricky Toffee Pudding.
But I know what you mean, though. There's potential for that to actually be pretty decent.
Yeah, like they should have done like a... You know, if they knew who to pull in, they could make it really sweet. You remember they did the Dizzy one? Like the Dizzy Rascal was in one of those songs a while ago. You know, get John Zoo in there. You drop a verse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do a full rap song.
Get a couple of bigger names behind it and stuff. Yeah.
But yeah.
People are going to trash it regardless.
Here's actually what happened. Aspire got in touch with me and they were like, oh, we're doing this. Here's the video. Would you like to do it? And I was like, nope. This is not something I would be interested in. However, I could make you another video. That's what I said. I said, I'll make you like a video. That I would make my, you know.
Yeah, like for them?
Yeah.
What is Aspire again? Like, what's the company?
It's like a sacrilegious company that... No, it's like, they do something about kids that aren't... I don't know what the fuck.
You really can't fork that word into anywhere, can you?
I don't know what it is.
Podcast is currently being interrupted here by my ma.
No, you're grand.
Talk away.
Talk in the mic.
What do you think?
What do you want to get, Aaron?
I come back and
throw Giuseppe's in you.
You'll never get that on a weekly General Banter podcast. Peter went out for it like this.
I send your dad for
it. He's crippled our friend. I say, I'm a little hopping the toda. No worries.
You can barely lift the order of pizzas we're looking, but...
Giuseppe's a sacrilegious too.
I'd have to take it. Sorry, I got all shy and coy there. I couldn't even talk. Like, since I've come down this far, I might have to eat a Giuseppe's. I might over-order and take Maureen a bit back because she loves it too.
It's weird though how good of a standard that Oma has for like fast food takeaways.
Yeah, Oma's a great town.
Exceptional for like, see, we have the best Chinese, we have the best pizzas. I had to take you to Mickey Kebab sometime. Unbelievable, like.
Yeah, I'll rack a kebab.
The best shit, like.
But even like any of those cafes up the main street are decent.
Yeah.
Right, let's tear through this. WK Dare Buckfast.
Buckfast.
No question.
Is that your phone or my phone?
What is your favourite alcoholic beverage?
Buckfast.
Mine's probably...
No, Captain Morgan's.
Yeah, Captain Morgan's. I'm getting a bit rummy in my old age.
I love rum. Like,
every time I'm drinking beer, I'm like, I'd love a wee rum.
What was your first real spirit that you like took to? Like, it was...
Vodka.
Vodka?
But it was only because I was drinking it. Was just like lemonade and shit.
Yeah, it just tastes like whatever you mix it with, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I'm not a big vodka guy. Whiskey? I do like whiskey, like... Mixed or by itself. What's the most awkward situation you found yourself in?
Every day? I don't know. Just weird shit.
Awkward situations. That's too much of a...
Have you ever had to show a doctor your cock or balls?
No. Mm. Just my oozing toe.
That's what I call my dick. Strangely enough.
Strangely...
funny you should mention.
Strangely enough. A couple of minutes. Just 2 minutes. She's fucking dying for this pepperoni.
Would you get a Giuseppe's, would you?
Oh, why?
Right, favorite And So I Watch You From Afar. Older albums. Favorite And So I Watch You From Afar.
Older new albums are the same?
Tune from older albums and favorite from the new album. Favorite from the new album is either Dying Giants or it's called. There's one called Mulally or something. Mulally.
Uh-huh.
Favorite old ones. A Little Solidarity Goes a Long Way.
That video you showed me of theirs was so badass, where it showed the Telegraph Building and it was like announcing the show, and then there was that tune in the background.
Well, Phil Bailey of Skyline Aerial Photography sent me a message today, and he's like, "I was shooting indoor drone footage at the Telegraph Building, with And So I Watch You From Afar today." And he was the videos out. Whenever the I forget the date he said it was out, he goes, it was pretty intense flying a drone inside, and I was like, fucking sure it was.
It's mental.
They're just ridiculous man. I don't know if I'm reading this wrong, but it seems to me that you have a disdain for comedians who work on TV, especially the BBC. Would you ever go down the TV route? I would if they let me do whatever the fuck I wanted to do, but they're not gonna let you do that. Yeah. And BBC sucks a pile of cock. Yeah. And also, I don't have disdain for comedians who work on TV. I just have a slight disdain for the fact that they keep knocking out the same shit and there's no room for growth at all. And there's no investment in sort of like the next generation. Well, there won't be a next generation of TV people, so who gives a fuck? But I don't know. I don't hate the comedians that are on TV.
Yeah.
I hate the TV company more than anything.
It's a weird system, isn't it? Like comedy in general, like in terms of TV and shit, and like how it used to be that was the whole penultimate goal, was to get yourself on TV, and now it seems like you don't need that shit at all. And a lot of people that like comedians you follow, whenever they get a TV break, you're like, that's the worst shit you've done. You know what I mean?
Of course, that's.
Do you know what I mean?
All the time. And then, like, there's a weirdness. You know, I've literally done gigs where you're like standing outside after a fucking sold out theater gig somewhere.
Yeah.
And someone's like, "Ah, here. Did you not do any more TV stuff and all?" And you're like, "I don't really need it." And they're like, "Ah, but sure, whatever." And you're like, "You're at my sold out show."
Yeah.
Do I need TV?
Yeah.
You fucking hellion.
Nah, it's dying, I think.
No, it's dead as fuck. Especially BBC. Shit. Favorite type / brand of hat? I love the... such specific questions for such a hat fiend. Wait till the General 5 panels land.
Class.
Oh, shit, sir.
You've the mortar, don't you?
Yeah, I'm just waiting to hear back from the dude.
And tease.
Because last time he's like, "Oh, I've got this stuff in, pay me, you know, here's the invoice, get that paid. As soon as it's paid, I print them."
Yeah.
But I haven't really heard much from him, so maybe it's because I've worked with him before and I paid up and he's just like, "All right, well, sure, we'll fucking
yeah,
get these t-shirts and get you paid, whatever." Francis Ngannou versus Stipe Miocic for the heavyweight title. Did you see that fight at the weekend there?
No, but everyone's Snapchat was on about it. Ridiculous, was it?
He nearly uppercutted Overeem's head into the fucking... in the orbit. It was fucking horrendous. Literally, there's so many memes of just him in this position. You know, like Mortal Kombat, like, yeah, finish him. And he goes like, whoosh, big uppercut. And
Jesus
flies
Christ.
In the air. That's what it was like. He nearly took his fucking head off. Would you finger Santa's wife for free...
for free what?
Free Christmas gifts. I'd finger her. Where's your dream gig? Can't wait to see you. Can't wait to get across and finally see you. Mm. Now, why is that not a hot chick and it's a dude?
That's hilarious.
Although someone sent me... It was a girl who listens to the podcast all the time. Sent me a message. She's like, "Oh, this is my friend from England. He's come to see you in Ulster Hall or something. Wants to go out drinking with you." Now, this is probably just in a like, "Oh, you're like this mad bastard who does a pile of drinking. Uh-huh. Heard a lot about you" type thing. And I was like, give Arno a wee shout. You know what I mean?
Did you actually?
Not really, but I was like, give McCann a shout. You know? I don't need to be knocking around with two fucking, like, 20-year-olds or whatever these are. Get McCann in there.
That's hilarious.
Slide in his DMs. You know, they're lubed up. Slide right in there.
You just divert all your fan.
And the girl looked like Amber Heard.
That's hilarious.
You need to make a video about the Band-Aid. No, I don't. Question. Right, let me just see. It's got so many questions today. Quickfire.
Shoot.
If a synchronized swimmer drowns, do the others drown too? I feel like that's a Sean Haggerty joke.
That's very smart.
What do you think of GAA? Decent, dirty bog ball. Decent or dirty bog ball? I just don't like sports that much. So
yeah, same.
See any of those games where it's like every certain amount of steps you got to fucking bounce it or something?
Yeah.
It seems like it's being held back quite a bit.
Yeah, it's very sacrilegious sport.
Yeah. Hurling's good crack to watch this.
Both are vicious as fuck. You ever watch like a compilation video of like hurling KOs?
Hurling KOs. Swear to God.
This
is a great question, right? Would you rather vlog with Casey Neistat, stand up special with Bill Burr, or podcast with Joe Rogan?
Outstanding question.
Whichever you choose, you can never do it again. I would do the Joe Rogan podcast.
I think I'd do that too, you know?
Because Casey, like, I like watching Casey Neistat, but I'm just like, I don't know if I'm that into vlogging that I would fucking want to do it with him.
The Bill Burr thing is like, it'd be amazing to have a gig with him, but at the same time, it's, you're doing separate things. Like, he's going to do his piece, then you're going to do your piece. Mm-hmm. Rogan's going to be, what, like 2 hours of used to sitting there chatting shit?
Three, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Also, I feel like I would be so much crack that he'd want me back, like, you know? Getting profesh. Why is gin so popular? What's the next big spirit? Gin is popular.
Rum needs to make a comeback, I think.
Rum back?
Yeah, rum back. I like it.
Gin, I can't drink. It's like wine.
It's
not like wine, but I can't drink wine either.
But I don't like it. But that's why they're hammering up now with these pink gins and these honey flavored gins and shit like that. Gin by itself tastes fucking disgusting.
Yeah, it's gross. I mean, those ones you get where it's like that Amalfi or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like lemon gin with cranberry juice and all. You're burying it under 10 other flavors.
Some people though are serious into their fucking gins like that. Muriel's Gin Bar in Belfast. Like, it's got like a map and shit. Like, I actually kind of wish I was into gin so I could go to it. It's got like a map of the world and shit, and then they've got all the gins from over the world, and you do like a checklist of all the ones you tried. I'd fucking love something like that for rum. But even that, I don't think I'd give a fuck. Like, I just find the rum I like, and that's it.
Yeah, it's,
I don't
want
to try out all these ones.
Although, have you ever had the O-Cart, the Bacardi O-Cart?
No, never.
It's good.
It's a rum, is it?
It's like Captain Morgan. It's spiced rum, but it's like not as sickly as like Captain Morgan's. It's
yeah.
A bit woodier.
Yeah.
I quite like it. When I'm procrastinating at uni, I watch Iron Fighter to give me a laugh. Will you be making more? Want to see Mike Litteris again? I'm going to make one before Christmas, but the problem is nobody watches fucking those long-form videos anymore, so I can maybe do one more or something, but most of them are going to be short. What did he do to his foot? Just
being
diabetes.
Drunk clots.
Is that what? But did you not? Did you like kick a door with one of them, and then the other one was like just shitty too? Is that the
yeah?
There you go, kicking doors like an asshole.
We're not even kicking doors. That makes me sound like an angry retro bit. I opened the door quite viciously, and then
that's fucking gross,
disgusting.
What's the worst encounter you've had with a member of public who recognised you from the podcast, or videos, etc.? Well, I had a guy today as I came out of the gym. He took a photo, and then he was like, he turned around, he's like, oh, fucking Barry Blender. And as usual, the guy's saying that, and the wife is like, who the fuck is this? Is that Barry Blender? Is it? Is that Barry Blender? And then she was like, what? And then he goes, here, I haven't got a photo. And I was like, all right. And I'm literally drenched in sweat. And then he goes, here, do you get recognized at all? And I was like, nah, not at all. Apart from you taking a photo of me right now.
The creepiest one I ever saw was the time we were walking uptown, and someone took a picture of the two of us and was like, heading for lunch, big son. Yeah. Like, and they were literally directly behind us.
That's the worst. But
it's creepy as fuck. Like,
I don't. I mean, there's nothing really overly weird has happened other than like, I mean, I've told the fucking the Lurgan hat story where the girl was like, "My dad died, and if you give me that hat, I'll give it to my baby."
That's so weird. Like,
that happened. But the worst ones are just shit talking. Like, people will just fucking talk shit to you, and you can't get away. And there's like, here, I done this, and they're trying to like make you laugh or something. And you're like, I don't care.
Like, the one that I felt so bad for you for was after the gig. Where did we do that gig? Me, you, and Keezy. Fuck, Paddy Glasgow.
Oh yeah, Glasgow Bray up at fucking Draperstown.
Draperstown. And the guy after was like out of his nut, and him and his girlfriend weren't listening for the whole show of anybody said. And then at the very end, they're like, "You should take Buy the Blender and the tour and all. You should do that. You should just do like a whistle stop tour and all. Buy the Blender." Fucking doses, like.
You're like, yeah, good idea, bro. I'm serious. Go on, talk shit for a minute. Get off. Huh?
Dragon's Den type stuff there, like.
Yeah, fucking weirds. Weird bastards. Ever said anything that you got you into trouble? I know you have said you got some backlash from your Bruce Jenner joke, but never anything else. I've had a few times live on radio where I've sailed too close to the wind, easily done.
Who's this?
I don't know, because I snapped the photo. There's no name on it.
Quick plug, by the way, on the note of radio. We're good to go with that gig on the 27th. Me, you, Keezy's hosting, and Oma's own Philly Taggart.
I was talking to Chrissy.
DJing after.
By the way, that's going to be like an exclusive, not exclusive, but it's like where that's happening does not at all match the fucking lineup.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be me, Aaron, Connor Keyes hosting, and Phil Taggart from Radio 1 is DJing. That's going to be bonkers.
That's going to be my send-off.
Like, that's in a bar. That is upstairs in a bar.
Like,
in nine,
like, Bogan's is, like, sitting is, like, 120 max. And, like, even that's, like, too much. Like, they've overpacked.
Yeah.
And that's probably what they'll do it up to. But, like, that's 120 people. It's going to be fucking unreal.
Yeah, it's going to be a party. I'm going to get a hotel in that, or a room in that hotel.
Yeah, we should get everyone down for that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there was a gig I'm doing, and Maureen's like, "Oh yeah, I'm working the next day or something," and I was like, I would do whatever I could to fucking pull out of something like that.
Yeah.
Oh no, that she's okay for that date. It's the Comedian's Christmas Day one. She's working the next day.
Ah, fuck.
See, she had a big conversation with her mum,
mm-hmm.
and she was saying like about, you know, because obviously we've organised the wedding, and she was like, "I don't know about makeup," and you know, you fucking book people in for makeup 6 months in advance, and then the day arrives and you've other plans, but you've one makeup to do, or
which is so crazy. That's so crazy.
Yeah,
there's no other job where you can get booked for something like that much in advance, and you have your reputation is on the line if you cancel out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, she had to change one that was the day after the Ulster Hall, and she just said, "The girl, listen, I know a good replacement, blah de blah." And the girl seemed to be okay with it, like, so.
Well, that's a good fix, you know, if you got a good replacement and the person is sound about it, which I'm sure they were, then no harm done.
No, well, the bum, no harm
but
done.
But what were you saying? She was having a conversation with her mum about it?
With her mum, and, like, she was just, we're talking back and forward, and then, because, she could legit work for fucking General Banter Productions.
Yeah.
And it would free me up, and then I could sort of delegate some more work to maybe other cameramen or editors or something, and then I would actually be able to just make my own videos and fuck about and do podcasts.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm trying to do podcasts and all on top of all this other shit.
Yeah, you need a full team.
Or she could, like, you know, she was like, "Right, we'll take this office," which she was going to turn into like a makeup room, and then she's like, "Nah, fuck all that. We'll just turn that into a real office, get good seats, good, you know, new desks and stuff." And she's like, "Get a new laptop, I'll use your old one, and we just fucking run a production company, essentially."
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Fucking right.
That's what I'm going to say after eating this pizza.
I know. Well, we'll get out of here and get a pizza before I fall asleep. By the way, this is... What age are your parents?
I don't even know.
Getting on a bit. Right.
I don't know why.
But this is the heat that someone's house should be when they're of that age.
Yeah.
Where you could melt a crayon on the carpet.
It's crazy.
It's so fucking hot in
here. Did we go through all the questions?
I don't know. There's so many. I just couldn't even be honest. There's Facebook ones and all. It's like, I can't be fucked. I'm not going to answer like 50 questions.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, let's get out of here. Do you have a laptop here?
I do, yeah.
Cool. I might clear a bit of that camera.
No worries.
Sweet. Cheers, Aaron. Hope your foot gets better soon.
It looks well, as you say, like.
Yeah. Doesn't look well.
Nah, it looks like shit.
When both your... What's the problem? You're going to fuck off to America. Mm-hmm. You know, we could have got you started in a real long, lengthy jiu-jitsu career.
I know that was the first one I said, you know, when I sent a picture of it. No more sock jiu-jitsu classes for me.
Yeah.
Because you do look like a fucking serial killer, like, going to jiu-jitsu classes in socks.
You would look less weird with that than you would with a stripy sock on.
I think someone even commented on the video of the vlog, and they're like, what the fuck, does Aaron have, like, web feet or something?
Yeah.
What's he hiding?
As soon as someone goes on the mat in jiu-jitsu wearing socks, you're like, what's wrong with your feet?
Yeah.
Like, what's he hiding?
What's this dirty bastard got? Yeah.
Wee oozy toe.
I think I will try and find well, obviously it has to be cheap enough as well. Place in LA to do jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu.
Good way to meet people. Good thing to fucking do in the evenings. I think it'd be beneficial.
Right, let's get out of here before we order some pizza. Your mum's at the door.
Let's go.
See you later.
Good luck.
Bye.